Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Let's talk about that. I wanted to be Spider-Man.
I thought you wanted to be the Incredible Hulk.
I did want to be the Incredible Hulk too.
You know, those are two really, really, really different people.
Not necessarily. They both were affected by some kind of radiation.
That's true. But I was thinking more like size. Like Spider-Man's kind of small and mobile, wiry, and the Hulk is like, well, he's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not like the cool modern day Hulk. We had Lou Ferrigno, who was like,
he was really
Hulk with a lot of green makeup.
With and some crazy hair.
Uh-huh. It stuck straight out. Was that his real hair?
It was a Hulk fro.
That can't have been his real hair.
It's like
he
used a hair straightener on his hair and stuck straight out.
What if it was just a wig?
Well, I don't know if it was or not.
That was loose hair.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Actually, I don't even know who Lou Ferrigno is, except that I know he was the Hulk.
He was the Hulk. He was awesome.
Was he a wrestler?
Don't know. He was a bodybuilder, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Josh?
What did I want to be? Well, actually, I've talked about Uncle Jerry before on the show. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen. But Uncle Jerry's he's a rancher out in Oklahoma. And
this is who you wanted to be?
No. I'm just setting up for the story.
Okay.
And I would go out and help him with the calves whenever I was a little kid. Anyway, Uncle Jerry used to give me a hard time about wanting to be a missionary when I grew up. Uncle Jerry would go, "Well, you know, they got them headhunters over there in Africa. They going to cook you up in a soup."
That's terrible.
That's what he would tell me.
That's so terrible. I really hope he doesn't listen.
What in the world? I thought you said you wanted to be like Uncle Jerry, but definitely no.
You wanted to be a missionary.
Yeah, I wanted to be a missionary. All my aunts and uncles on that side of the family, they all smoke cigarettes. Except my Uncle Jerry. And we were driving in the truck across the pasture one day, and I asked him, "Uncle Jerry, have you ever smoked cigarettes?" Because everybody else did. And I just figured, why didn't he smoke cigarettes? He goes, "I used to, but they started giving me nightmares." I guess that was his way of trying to get me to not smoke cigarettes.
Well, he was a big influence on your life, wasn't he?
He sure was.
I think so.
He really was. I never realized it, but oh, man, Uncle Jerry.
Wow. When I was little, I wanted to be taller. I'm serious. I was always a little short. I'm still a little short. I haven't grown since the eighth grade. I mean, I've gotten wider, but I haven't gotten any taller.
Some dreams just don't come true.
And I'm not coordinated enough to wear tall shoes. So when I try to be taller, I fall down. So I just am stuck. No, what I wanted to do was be a Disney singer. I wanted to be one of the voices on the Disney cartoons.
A whole new world.
Like, I used to sit in my room and sing the part from The Little Mermaid. I'd have competitions with one of my cousins about who could sing it the best.
Ashley and her sisters used to do the same exact thing.
Or the Beauty and the Beast songs. I always really liked those.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know any of those. Yeah.
So I missed out on my calling. I could have been a Disney singer. I could have been the voice of a princess.
Oh, it's not too late, Haley. This just turned into a counseling session.
Haley, you already have a voice of a princess.
Which is not quite the same.
I think my childhood desires and yours melded a little because, like, you're the voice of maybe Hulk Mommy.
Oh, yeah. I am kind of a Hulk.
Well, speaking of Hulk mommies, just a real quick plug for the On Fire podcast. It's been up and running for about a month now. And Haley and Alicia just knock it out of the park every single Tuesday morning. You can go and listen to the On Fire podcast at onfirepodcast.com, empowering women to thrive. So
listen.
You better listen right now. I don't know. I turned into Rick Savage all of a sudden.
Yeah, you did.
You better listen right now. Snap to Slim Jim and listen to the On Fire podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Healing is Right. We got our good friend Dustin Smith coming up later in the show. You definitely want to stick around. It's going to be awesome.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we in Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
This week and next week, we're fortunate enough to have Dustin Smith with us. A little later in the show, we'll be talking about his new project, Miracles Healing is Right. Next week, we're going to be talking to him about his community he's building out there, Here Be Lions, and what they're doing. Pretty awesome stuff, very like hearts, and so we're excited about that. Today, Healing is Right. That is the topic of discussion. Let's talk about why healing is right and dive on into this thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love Dustin's attitude about healing, and he's gone to great lengths and great effort to put together a frontal assault against this thing that we call sickness and disease, premature death, whatever you want to call it. I love his attitude about it because it's aggressive. And man, if you've ever been in a struggle or a fight against sickness in your life or in your family, someone you love, you have to be aggressive or it will clobber you on the inside. It will take over your mind, fear, and all those kinds of things. But I wanted to bring a little perspective to start out with about healing. And we've seen a rise in healing and miracles last century. We had people like healing evangelists in the 40s and 50s and beyond. And it seemed like God was really giving great grace, seeing incredible miracles. Of course, we have contemporary powerful leaders like Todd White, Heidi Baker, and many, many others who are seeing tremendous miracles. And I think that one of the factors that we haven't maybe considered in this healing movement in our generation is the fact that we are becoming sons.
Yeah.
And what sons do is produce kingdom fruit. And one of those fruits is healing. And it's not just a thing we believe that we can heal or that we can heal the sick. It is, no, this is part of an authoritative government mandate from heaven. Drive out sickness, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
I think one of the biggest things about seeing the signs and wonders that follow those who believe is those who believe know him.
Yeah.
Those who believe have intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus. Where we're identified as sons and daughters, that's the outflowing. Healing is the outflowing. I mean, we're all called to look just like him. And the more time we spend with him, the more we look like him. And the more the fruit of the Spirit just flows right out of us. And healing is one of those things. Jesus said, go, preach the gospel, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons.
I love, too, that what's happening in communities, because as we see people becoming sons, one of the other outflows of that sonship, of that mindset where, you know, we are sons and we are seated in him and he's in us, is the fact that it's starting to create community. And the community aspect is so powerful because when we get in community, I don't think we've seen really what community can do on some of these other things where we have healing released or where we have other things released, because typically it's the guy. It's the guy on the stage. He comes in. He has a thing, an anointing for healing, and we pray for people in the line. But man, that's not it.
Right.
It's it where we have a whole community, a whole city where there's a cancer-free zone, where there's a disease-free zone, where there is a divine enablement to maintain divine health.
Well, and maybe that's one of the keys. Like, you know, you're talking about that it's usually the guy that's praying for someone or you praying and believing God for a miracle. But what if part of the key to healing and health being really released is actually tied up in how connected we are to a body of believers, how connected we are to our own community, and how much more power is there accessible to us when we are living like the church lived in a community with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our love story with the Father flows into that community through one another.
Uh-huh.
And the presence of God is just robust and producing fruit that remains all the time because there's this system that it flows through. It's not just me and him, it's him and us.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And we talk about this all the time where, you know, the world that's on the inside is going to influence the world that's on the outside. And the more our inside world is governed like heaven is governed, like I can't afford to think about something about me that he doesn't think about me.
Right.
When we're not entertaining these thoughts, these self-defeating thoughts that keep us from operating in expressions of its power and the spirit on the earth, when we create that powerful world on the inside of us, especially when we do it in community, it's going to produce an explosive impact in the world around us. I feel like we're seeing it in our city. I mean, we have these ridiculous testimonies of people like Aaron Garcia, who the city sold him a huge facility for $1 so that he could rebuild people's lives. Yeah. And we're going to go in there and wreck the place with worship and make it a heaven on earth atmosphere. I mean, we're seeing great breakthroughs, and the breakthroughs come as a result of community. And not every story, we're talking like victory, victory, victory. Not every story is laced with so much victory because there is heartbreak and there is like huge question marks. Like I prayed for somebody that didn't get healed. I prayed for my kid and they didn't get healed. You know, there's all this heartbreak, and maybe we should talk about that a little bit. Maybe we should talk about what do you do in a situation where I tried, it didn't work, and things like that.
Well, I think it's important to remember that in those times of great pain, there is also great God, and he is very much present and with us to help us process through that. But also, I think that what we're talking about is less about, like, I keep picturing myself, like, instead of waiting for an opportunity to experience healing in my own life, intentionally creating an ecosystem where it naturally starts to grow and flourish until it becomes the standard that we live by. And I think that the times that it doesn't happen is a part of that process, maybe, that we're intentionally building something and causing the fruit to come, and it's a process.
One warning that I'd like to put out to believers, that we not get so focused on the power of God that we lose out on the intimacy with God, because the power comes through intimacy. There's something very revealing in the fact when the disciples came back and they brought this man's son to Jesus and said, we've been trying to cast this demon out and it won't come out.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get him to come out. So their hearts were trying. They were trying to do something powerful. And Jesus' response, you of little faith, these will only come out through prayer and fasting. Well, it's not a formula, the prayer and fast. Okay, well, I'm going to go pray and fast, and then I can cast out demons. Jesus was referring to intimacy. Yeah. It was neglecting the desires of your flesh to spend time with your God.
Yeah.
We just can't spend enough time with him.
Yeah. And there is a contending for this too. You know, this is not something that we just walk out and do fully from day one necessarily, but there is a contending that has to happen. And honestly, life is a contention. If you try to live for Jesus, all of a sudden you're going to get some things thrown at you in your brain. Mm-hmm. And you have the choice to believe a lie or to believe what's right. So the cornerstone of all this theology that we're throwing out there, number one, that God is good.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, it does not change his nature. And we are representers and carriers of this encounter where his nature is revealed. And so part of kind of us growing our maturity, part of us becoming these powerful people in the earth is not giving up when something doesn't work, but contending, believing. I put this on my Facebook page the other day. We work hard because we believe. Mm-hmm. We keep going because we believe. We keep praying because we believe.
Yeah.
And this contention is talked about so many times with Paul, striving for the things in the kingdom, you know, pushing forward. And we wrestle, you know, and we're just not going to give up. Even if we don't see sickness kicked off the face of the earth in our generation, we're going to act like it. We're going to act like Jesus act. And sickness is an intruder, and it's going to have to go. That's it.
Coming up, talking a little bit more about this and his Project Miracles, Healing is Right, our good friend Dustin Smith. Stick around.
We asked local worship leaders to try Core Sound pads and tell us what they think.
So I started using pads probably about 3 years ago, mainly because on a Wednesday night when you didn't have an entire worship team, it was pretty thin, so I started using those on the recommendation of Clint and come across the Core Sound pads. I figured pad's a pad, but it's really not. These pads are so much more than just someone sitting on a sustain pedal with a keyboard pad playing in the background. It fills the space so much more depth and dimension, and if you have the right pad player, it'll actually do the transition from one key to another, and that's one of the main reasons I like it. I am Will Brown, worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri.
Go to Core, C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com to learn more. Try free samples and get going with pads today. Enter promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to dive into the topic of equipping the equippers, and we're going to sit down again with Dustin Smith and discuss his new project, Here Be Lions. It's going to be great. We're fortunate enough to have him on the program with us today, talking about miracles, his Healing is Right project, Dustin Smith.
All right, Dustin, thanks so much for jumping on the phone with me today. How you doing?
I am good. I have my coffee and I've got my friend. So
come on. Well, you've been on the show with us before. Super love your heart. I love everything that you guys are doing as a ministry. And we're going to talk more about that in another interview that we're going to do with you, talking about Here Be Lions. But today, man, I want to talk about Healing is Right as a movement, what it's all about. And you've got a brand new worship project coming out for Healing is Right called Miracles. Tell us about Healing is Right. What's going on with it? What's God doing with it?
Yeah, man, Healing is Right. You know, I think we've talked about it a little bit before, but people can check out more because I don't want to take time for the whole story of just how it got started. But, you know, it really initiated, we believe in healing, you know, for a long time. We've seen powerful things, but I had a dream and saw a guy in a coma, and I walked up to this guy, people around him crying, like he's dead already, in a hospital room. And I go and I lay a necklace around his neck, and I just put these headphones in his ear and push play on this little MP3 player that's hanging around his neck. And instantly his eyes started darting back and forth. They didn't open, but they were darting back and forth like he was looking for something, but nobody in the room noticed that there was any activity on him at all, you know. And I stood there, and my first instinct is just like, you should be awake by now. I mean, my expectation was basically I put those earbuds in and, you know, he's coming to life. And he didn't right away. It kind of bothered me. So I stood there and just watched him. And I watched the clock. And 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes went by. And when it hit 5 minutes, this guy sat straight up in bed and took a huge breath. And the room just went electric. I mean, praise. People are just like overjoyed this guy's alive. And I woke up. And I'm sitting up straight in bed. I'm not even breathing. And I'm thinking, like, my initial thought is I need to find out those MP3 players, where those are. So I got online. It was like 3 a.m. And I order 100 MP3 players with necklaces from China because they're the only ones that make electronics, I guess. And I got these MP3 players, and I didn't even know what I was doing, you know. All I knew was, like, this has got to be God. You know, if I remember dreaming that vivid and like that. And so I bought these MP3 players, and I felt God say, I'm going to start a healing revolution with this. At the time, we believed in healing. So to me, it wasn't like a huge revelation. It was just another way, you know, another way for us to get the word out. So we started writing songs for it. And then we realized, like, as we start going, I believe God gives you continued revelation and some ways to expand it. So the MP3 player was just an idea. And we started realizing, like, we can get this out even further than the MP3 player, because the MP3 players, we can get into hospice and some of these people who maybe don't have internet access and things like that. But we ended up creating an app. And the app, we're using SoundCloud to stream the songs. And we ended up getting shut down because we were hitting 15,000 streams a day. And that's their limit. And so we ended up starting a radio station on there for healing. And so people can get on the app and they can listen to songs, you know, just to really give them hope, fill the atmosphere in their hospital rooms. We have people in hospital rooms that are messaging us that they're actually walking into other hospital rooms telling people about the app that have horrible diagnosis or saying they're not going to live another day. We're getting emails and letters from people saying somebody just walked into our room, got a horrible report, and showed us this app, and instantly the atmosphere in the room changed. My husband started getting better. They told him he wouldn't live another day, and now he's walking out of the hospital. Like, we're seeing God do powerful things. On the app itself, there's a prayer wall where people can submit prayer requests. But there's also, the prayer wall actually has a button by the prayer request that says, I prayed for this. So you can go and pray for people all day. You know, so if you're not sick, it gives you the opportunity to start praying for the sick. And when you hit that button says, I prayed for this, it emails the person that turned in the prayer request and says, you were just prayed for it. Healing is right. So we're also getting people messaging us back saying, hey, I've been so encouraged. I got 30 emails today saying how much I was prayed for. And they said, I felt so alone my whole life. And now I feel like I have people who actually care about me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because I started realizing like what God's given us, why he's starting a healing revolution. Cause I'm thinking like, what am I, a healing revolution? Is that what this is? And I feel like God say, no, I'm using you to equip the equippers, you know, like you're putting this in other people's hands so they can give it to other people and they can actually pass out. This isn't about Dustin or even Here Be Lions, or this is about giving people the tools and the resources to walk into a room when maybe before they didn't know how to initiate a prayer. They didn't know exactly how to pray. Now the app is like a tool to get in that door or a key to put in and turn the lock. So we have people now who are walking around and they might have been fearful to walk up to a person. They didn't know exactly what to say or how to do it at maybe a Walmart and they see somebody in a wheelchair. But it's easier for them to go up and say, hey, have you heard of this app? Like, we've seen people that have been getting healed by getting prayer, by listening to this music and filling the atmosphere of their home or something like that. And it just gives them a key, kind of a way into a conversation. And most of them end up praying for people right then and there, you know. Mm-hmm. But it also gives them something to leave them with. Anybody can download the app. It's free. We felt God tell us, like, don't make sick people pay for this medicine. Yeah. So even the new project coming out called Miracles, the Healing Project, it'll be on iTunes because people were frustrated that they couldn't get it onto their phone. So we put it on there. But anybody can go to the website, healingisright.com, and download the songs for free. But they can also go to the app and download that for free.
Awesome.
That's where it's at right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people get around you and around your team, one of the things that they make note of is your attitude. And you have such an aggressive attitude towards the kingdom. Share with us maybe part of why you're so aggressive towards healing. I mean, what is this thing that people catch when they get around you as far as just the attitude part of why healing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm probably more aggressive just because I was so passive the first half of my life. And, you know, that's what religion did to me. You know, it basically just tried to get me to hold on to something. And I realized, like, why am I'm not seeing anything happen. We talk about stuff all the time, but it's interesting. I get some people like, you know, man, you're just so aggressive. And I'm like, you know, who's aggressive is the enemy. You know, I'm not exactly sure why the enemy gets to be so aggressive and we have to be so passive. And I started realizing the Bible says that the kingdom of God is advancing forcefully and forceful men lay hold of it. And we even had somebody yesterday ask, they said, you know, I really want to believe for healing, but I've not seen it every time I've prayed for it. And I'm not exactly sure why I should pray for it now if I haven't seen it before. And my answer to that is, you know, scripture says, and the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. Well, if there's an increase of it, that means today it's going to be greater than it was yesterday. And so if you didn't see it yesterday, then be the increase today. And I think that the enemy continually builds up. You know, Corinthians says, for the weapons we fight with. So number one, there's a reason to be aggressive because it says we actually fight. That's implying there's going to be a fight. And it says the weapons we fight with are not of this world, but they are powerful to demolish. There's another aggressive word.
Yeah, right.
Demolish what? Strongholds, arguments, and pretensions that keep us from the knowledge of God. And I realize a lot of times in worship and even in our bodies for healing, the enemy fights a lot harder for sickness than we do for healing. He fights a lot harder for arguments than we do to demolish those arguments. He fights a lot harder to get people ready for worship on Sunday than we do. You know?
Yeah. I
mean, he gets them more ready to be worn down than we do to get them to be built up.
Wow.
And that's the, I think that's why I'm more, you know, I want to be aggressive with it because I really do believe that I'm actually fighting against walls that the enemy has tried to build up to keep you from experiencing God and to know him. But most of the time you realize like people just, they want hope. They want to be able to hope again. And sometimes you have to fight through that noise. And sometimes people will say, oh, why are you, you know, during worship, you're so loud or you yell, God can hear you. And I was like, yeah, but you haven't yet, you know, because even if I have a microphone in my hand, the voice that has been telling you, you have no hope and no future has been so loud that you can barely hear my voice.
Wow.
And so we sing loud because we want the nations to know that God is moving. Mm-hmm. And I know the enemy's loud. You know, Jesus also said the wheat and the weeds are going to grow up at the same time. So I know that the weeds are growing up at a level too, but eventually the wheat comes to full maturity and the weeds get pulled out. And so for me, why do I expect to see healing today if I might not have seen it in full yesterday? Because I believe that the wheat is maturing. And I believe that people want to move with the kingdom of God. I do not obviously believe they want to move with sickness or death. And so even in the face of it, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can throw us in the fire, but our God will save us. And even if he doesn't, we'll never bow, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's almost like there's a confidence there, but there's also a confidence that this isn't really the end for us, no matter what. You know?
Yeah.
And so I love walking in that. And I think it just puts a new attitude, a new hope, a new life in you. And it's hard sometimes because people are like, man, this guy talks so strong. I don't know if I could be that. And I was like, listen, if you get a glimpse of who he is, you'll always be this.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
This is who you've been created to be. You know, you know, if you're not feeling well, it's not hypocritical to still say God is a healer. Being hypocritical if you're saying things opposite of what you were created for.
Very good.
And you were created for praise. You were created for life. You were created for healing. You were not created for sickness. You weren't created for death. That's not what you were created for. You're created to live with him forever. And he's bringing us back to that right position.
Yeah.
You know,
love that.
And so, yeah. So that's why we birthed it. That's what it's for.
So give us a little taste of this. You got 8 songs on this new project called Miracles. Let's talk about one of the favorite songs on there and tell the story about it.
Oh man, that's like trying to pick your favorite kid, you know? Like, I mean, every parent knows they've got one that they might like a little bit better, but you can't admit it, you know?
Right. It's horrible. It's just Dustin, you can't say that.
That's horrible. Oh, my kids don't listen to this. No, man, honestly, they all resonate, you know, because I think even in my own life, they've inspired me. They help create hope in me, but probably Miracles is probably the one that hits me the most. I was blessed to be able to write that with Chris Killala and Stu G and Josh Silverberg out in Reading. First time I ever heard Chris sing it, it just shot through me.
Yeah.
I think that one of the reasons is because when we were out there writing it, is because I had told Chris about Healing is Right and the dream God had given me. And then Chris told me about his baby and losing their baby and how he had to make the decision that moment that I still believe in healing. I still believe in miracles. I don't base it on my situation. I base it on who I know God is. Some people really struggle with that, you know, but this song is really a declaration of not what we see, but what we know. Some people would say, how can Chris say that? You know, when his baby died. And my statement back is maybe Chris has seen something greater than death. I mean, that's a huge statement, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Paul says that. He says, I count it all joy sitting in prison. You know, he also says, if I could be with the Lord, you know, I would, but he's kind of making me stick it out here with you. You know? And I think that when you see something greater than death, then death does not shake you. And that's what Miracles does for me. It's like in the face of every tormentor, in the face of every fear and every doubt, I'm going to declare that I believe in something greater than that. You know, every time I sing it, I see people awaken to the fact that God is a healer. The deaf hear, the blind eyes open, the lame men walk. And we're seeing it in services. As we sing it, as we declare it, we're seeing people awaken to the fact that God is doing something. And I think there's a radical thing happening in the earth right now, because 5-10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have been able to sing the song in most churches, you know.
Wow.
And now I've got denominations that never would have sung it before standing up and declaring, I believe in you, you're the God of miracles. Like, yeah. What is happening?
You know? That's incredible.
They're like, thank you, God. And so that, to me, is probably one of the most powerful songs for me.
Well, one more time, give us all the information as far as how people can get a hold of this new project, how they can get in touch with Healing is Right and start to become part of that movement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing to do is download the app. You can get it on Google. You can get it on iTunes. And it's just called Healing is Right. Download it. You know, before you get on social media in the morning, open up the prayer wall and pray for somebody and start taking action. If you have prayer requests, turn them in, you know, and let other people pray for you. And then they can go to the website, healingisright.com, if they want to download the songs for free. But if they want to help us get these songs out and continue to be able to resource this, they can go to iTunes and they can go to Amazon and purchase this.
Awesome. Dustin, you're such a force of hope in the earth. And really, I think, I don't know if you know this, I'm sure people tell you, but you're just really giving people permission because of your boldness and your attitude. You know, people know in their hearts that Healing is Right, but man, when they sit down, they listen to you and they hear you say it, it just gives us permission to take action. And we feel it here in our community. So I just want to say thank you for the braveness, the boldness, and the standard, everything that you guys are going for.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Thanks for letting us be a part of the podcast.
So good to have our friend Dustin on the program with us. So great to connect with him once again. Next week, we'll sit down with him again and talk about Here Be Lions, forming community, and equipping the equippers. Next time on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.